Dermatologists often serve as diagnosticians for conditions that affect more than the skin. Many dermatologic signs and symptoms can lead to recognition and treatment of a patient's unnoticed internal disease. In our next dialogue, Dr. Franco Rangeletti and Dr. Paolo Romanelli discuss the clinical and pathologic aspects of skin disease and many of the manifestations of depositional, endocrine, and metabolic diseases.
Hello and welcome to the Dialogues in Dermatology. I'm Paolo Romanelli, Associate Professor of Dermatology and Dermatopathology at the University of Miami L. Miller School of Medicine. Today, I'm extremely privileged and happy to be with Professor Franco Rangeletti. Professor Rangeletti is Associate Professor at the Department of Health Science, Section of Dermatology, the University of Genova in Italy. And Professor Franco Rangeletti is a world expert on the subject of mucinosis. He's the author of two still standing classifications for clinical mucinosis and histopathology mucinosis. And today we'll discuss the clinical and pathological aspects of skin disease in endocrine, metabolic, nutritional, and deposition disease. Franco, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and share with you this great high hope dialogue. Let's start.
Let's start. So I was reviewing your excellent book that came to the public a couple of years ago. And one question I had was, why do we need a forum on cutaneous aspects of endocrine, metabolic, and deposition disorders?
I think for many reasons. First of all, though metabolic, endocrinological, and deposition disorders are more or less regularly included in general textbooks of dermatology and dermatopathology, one gains the general impression that this topic receive little emphasis and are mainly included for completeness. I think that the topic is of interest, especially for dermatologists and pathologists who consider the skin as a window for systemic disease. Can we call them skinternists?
Very nice. This is the first time I heard the term skinternist. So you spent so much time of your career and of your life on deposition disorders. What are really deposition disorders?
Oh, well, deposition disorders are a heterogeneous group of disease in which abnormal amount of substances accumulate inside the skin, especially into the dermis. The substances can be exogenous, such as fillers or implants, or endogenous. The latter are better divided into those substances which are normal components of the skin, such as mucin, which, however, in deposition disorders accumulates in large abnormal amounts, and substances which are abnormal component of the skin, such as amyloid, which is normally not present into the skin.
So, what are the cutaneous mucinosis?
Oh, the cutaneous mucinosis are also a heterogeneous group of disorders in which mucin is abnormally deposited into the skin. But the main message about this disease is that some of them are associated with systemic manifestations, such as scleromyxedema, which is associated with monoclonal gammopathy, scleroedema, which is associated with diabetes, with infection, with myeloma, and pretibial myxedema, which is associated with hyperthyroidism. So the most important point is to consider that sometimes these diseases are a clue for a diagnosis of systemic condition.
Is there any new insight in cutaneous mucinosis?
Yes, of course. New insights are, for instance, the confirmation that IVIG are the most effective treatment for scleromyxedema, which is a chronic disabling disease with unpredictable prognosis. I recently performed a multi-center study on 30 patients with scleromyxedema that is in press online on the Blue Journal, and I find out that out of 13 patients with scleromyxedema who have been treated with IVIG, 4 had a complete response and 9 had a partial response with a mean follow-up of 2 years. So this is the new great insights. Then we have new entities in the field of cutaneous mucinosis, such as obesity-associated lymphedematous mucinosis, which is a condition that mimics pretibial myxedema characterized by papules and nodules in the shins due to an abnormal lymphatic stasis. And the good is that a low calorie diet in these obese patients may improve not only the weight but also the skin condition. Another important condition is the generalized condition that we called cardiocutaneous mucinosis, because we found that patients with mitral valve prolapse who had severe heart complications had a large amount of mucin into the normal skin compared to patients with mitral valve prolapse with a benign prognosis. And finally, we have to spend a few words about HESOP. HESOP is an acronym which means adenopathy with extensive skin patch overlying plasmocytoma. That means that if you face a patient with a red violaceous plaque on the chest, and if you take a biopsy and you find vascular hyperplasia with mucin, you have to think about the possibility of an underlying plasmocytoma inside the ribs or the sternum.
Very good. These are all fascinating new developments, new insights in cutaneous mucinosis.
So we can expand the spectrum of our patients about this very important condition.
Absolutely, because the idea is also, as you mentioned, that the patients have a lot of mucin in their valve, they have it in the skin, and they may also have it in the conduction system. So the severe mitral valves may cause sudden death, which is something definitely to
like the athlete in basketball, for instance. Yes.
So going back to the deposition disorder, quite unknown and intriguing condition is amyloidosis. What is your insight on amyloidosis?
Well, first of all, amyloid is not a single substance, but describes various type of insoluble protein aggregates that share a common morphological properties. When amyloid accumulates into the tissue, especially into the skin, we have pathological condition, such as in multiple myeloma, for instance. You know that Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia, is due to an abnormal deposit of beta amyloid in the brain. And so some authors has hypothesized that could be a link between the deposition of amyloid into the brain and into the skin. But this is just conceptual. The practical new is that financial efforts are made to develop anti-amyloid antibodies that can inhibit amyloidogenesis. So this is the very important new insight into the field of amyloidosis.
Very good.
Let's go to the skin signs to diagnose endocrinological disease. As for adrenal disease and Addison disease, hyperpigmentation is the most common sign in at least more than 90% of patients. The hyperpigmentation may be diffuse or may be localized. And is very important because if you treat patients with Addison disease, hyperpigmentation disappear. So this is also a good sign to follow up the therapies of the patients. As for Cushing syndrome, we can observe the common skin manifestations due to overexposure to glucocorticoids, such as acne, obesity, striae, accumulation of fat at the base of neck, the so-called buffalo hump, hypertrichosis. But we also have less common sign such as cutis marmorata and the condition actually called dermatoporosis, which is an extreme form of skin atrophy. As for thyroid disease, especially in hyperthyroidism, we have pretibial myxedema, and sometimes pretibial myxedema is associated with exophthalmos and also thyroid acropathy, which is a kind of hypertrophy of the digits.
And what about a skin manifestation of diabetes?
Oh, skin problems occur in at least 30% of patients with diabetes. More autoimmune conditions in type 1 and more skin infections in type 2. In addition to the very well-known conditions such as diabetic dermopathy, diabetic hands, which mimics scleroderma, scleroderma, acquired perforating dermatosis, necrobiosis lipoidica, and granuloma annulare, I want to stress some new insights. For instance, granuloma annulare has a weak link with type 1, only type 1 diabetes, and not a strong association as usually dermatologists considered. And another insight is that diffuse generalized granuloma annulare may be a paraneoplastic phenomenon, especially lymphoma related. Then another new observation is that there is a significant association between granuloma annulare and dyslipidemia. The last signs is that I want to spend a few words about the significance of clear cells changes in skin biopsies of patients with diabetes. It has been suggested that the clear cells changes in the skin biopsies of patients with diabetes mellitus, and especially in eccrine tumors such as syringoma or eccrine syringofibroadenoma, and also porocarcinomas, are a clue, a microscopic clue for diabetes. Recently, however, it has been confirmed that clear cell changes in eccrine glands and in eccrine tumors is only an incidental finding.
Very, very good, very interesting, because for a while there was this controversy. So Professor Ongioletti is clarifying the issue. And so we discussed the science, we discussed the manifestation. Any new treatments in dermatological conditions associated with diabetes?
We have some suggestions about the possibility of new treatment. For instance, good results have been obtained on anecdotal basis, however, using IVIG also in necrobiosis lipoidica. And also photodynamic therapy seems to be effective for necrobiosis lipoidica. Also, if in my hands, photodynamic therapy was almost ineffective in a small series of three patients. Always on anecdotal basis, a treatment of acquired reactive perforating collagenosis with allopurinol incidentally improves also scleroderma in a diabetic patients. But in this field, we need larger controlled studies to confirm the possibility of new treatments.
So this was an outstanding opportunity for me to discuss clinical and pathological aspects of skin disease in endocrine, metabolic, nutritional, and deposition disease with my best friend and collaborator in dermatology and dermatopathology, Professor Franco Rongioletti. I want to say that thanks to this dialogue, hopefully we'll get more and more collaboration in the future in this extremely interesting subjects. Any other final comment, Franco?
No, just I want to thank Professor Romanelli, or better, my best friend Paolo.
Okay, grazie, arrivederci.
As Dr. Rangioletti described, dermatologists should be considered, quote, skin turnists, end quote, using the skin as a window into the body. Classic examples of this concept include the association of scleroderma with strep, diabetes or paraproteinemia, and pretibial myxedema with thyroid disease. The mucinoses are a very diverse group of diseases with a wide range of manifestations. Scleromyxedema is a type of mucinosis with systemic involvement, defined by 1, a generalized papular and sclerodermoid eruption, 2, histology showing mucin deposition, fibroblast proliferation, and fibrosis, 3, monoclonal gammopathy, usually of the IgG lambda light chains, and 4, the absence of thyroid disease. A clue to scleromyxedema is found at the glabella. It is typically infiltrated with deep longitudinal furrowing, which helps to create a leonine face. Another clue is the donut sign, which occurs when papules cluster around the interphalangeal joints to create an elevated rim with central depression on the joint, resembling a donut. Extracutaneous manifestations of scleromyxedema are relatively common and include arthralgias and joint involvement, neuropathies, cardiac involvement, myositis, lung fibrosis, lymphomas or myelodysplastic syndromes, and even coma following flu-like symptoms and dysarthria, also known as dermatoneurosyndrome. Treatment of scleromyxedema is notoriously difficult, though IVIG therapy seems to be the most beneficial in recent reviews. Systemic steroids do not seem to be effective in this disease. Localized mucinosis may be referred to as lichen myxedematosis or papular mucinosis. The 5 subtypes of localized mucinosis are as follows. 1, discrete lichen myxedematosis. 2, acral-persistent papular mucinosis. 3, self-healing papular mucinosis. 4, papular mucinosis of infancy. And 5, a pure nodular form. These localized versions do not exhibit the systemic manifestations seen in scleromyxedema. Although not a true mucinosis as outlined in the aforementioned classification, obesity-associated lymphedematous mucinosis does also have deposition of mucin. Most of these patients are morbidly obese with lymphatic stasis, leading to mucin deposition and subsequent firm plaques or nodules on the anterior shins. Low-calorie diets improve the condition. This condition should be distinguished from pretibial myxedema, which is possible with clinical history and subtle differences on histology. Mucin in the skin may actually be a marker of mucin deposition in the heart in certain patients. Dr. Rangioletti and Romanelli have found that patients with symptomatic mitral valve prolapse are more likely to have increased mucin in the skin compared to those with a benign prognosis. Mucin in the skin may signal that there is also mucin in the mitral valve and possibly conduction system, leading to increased morbidity. Though more studies are needed, if a simple biopsy of the skin can predict serious complications from a normally benign heart condition, dermatologists can play a life-saving role. Amyloid is a substance that, unlike mucin, is not normally found in the skin. There are now new antibodies being formulated to inhibit amyloidogenesis, which would have broad implications in preventing or treating Alzheimer's disease, multiple myeloma, and other types of amyloidosis. The skin-brain axis has long been purported, and more research in this area is forthcoming. Practicing dermatologists should also remember some of the other classic manifestations of systemic disease. Hyperpigmentation is a hallmark for Addison's disease and improves as the adrenal disease is controlled. Diffuse generalized granuloma annulare may be a paraneoplastic phenomenon, signalizing lymphoma. Beyond obesity, stria and the classic buffalo hump, Cushing's patients may also exhibit cutis marmorata or dermatoporosis, an all-encompassing term for extreme skin atrophy. Dermatoporosis is also seen in elderly patients, illustrated by skin fragility, such as easy skin tearing, delayed wound healing, senile purpura, and stellate pseudoscars. This month, we covered a great deal of useful information. We learned about acne and rosacea, cutaneous infections and skin care, and endocrine, metabolic, and depositional diseases. Next month, we look forward to our annual All Skin Cancer edition to promote the Academy's May initiative of Skin Cancer Awareness Month and Melanoma Monday. This has been Terry Cronin with Dialogues in Dermatology. Stay passionate about dermatology and keep up all the wonderful work you're doing on behalf of your patients. Your expertise and your care is truly priceless. Have another great month.